The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a new Hoosier Huddle podcast as we kick off fall camp. We also have a lot of recruiting news to go over. That's why we have Pegs.com writer and recruiting expert Matt Weaver coming on shortly. Our co-host TJ Inman will be here as well. Lots of Hoosier football to talk about. In the news today, IU kicked off fall camp yesterday. They had media day today. It's a whole, it's the start of football season, and we're happier. We're happy that the football season is starting. So let's bring in TJ Inman and welcome him to the show. TJ, how are you?
I am doing great, Sammy. Like you said, the football season really is here. It's, there is really not much of an off season in college football, but I think it's what everybody would consider the start of the 2016 season has arrived. No, the games haven't started, but, this is fall camp is the real deal. This is when, we can really start to see what the position groups are going to look like. We can really start to see the depth chart start to form, kind of see who has whose stock has improved since we saw him in the spring and who maybe has taken a step back or has just been passed up by other guys. You can never take too much definitive from just one or two days. You can really start to see things take shape as teams are putting in their playbooks, they're putting in probably not starting prep for opponents just yet, but really starting to game plan for how they're going to line up come, in Indiana's case, come September 1st. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, and TJ, we're going to bring in Matt Weaver from Pegs.com. Now, there's been a lot of recruiting news going around the blogosphere now. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're doing awesome. Football's back. Let's talk a little bit about, before we get into practice today, let's talk a little bit about some of the recruiting news that's happened the last couple weeks. There's been a couple recruits who are pushing the scales above 350 pounds. Is this the strategy you envisioned IU taking for this class?
Well, I mean, I knew they would go after linemen, a lot of linemen on both sides of the ball, and that's what they're doing. I don't know if they necessarily were trying to get, guys like Juan Harris, who's, around 6'3", 6'4", 360 or so pounds, and then, Darius Mullen, 6'5", 320 or so, and then Caleb Jones, who's listed at 6'9", 320, but I think he's a little bit heavier than that. I just think these are just guys that they like and they happen to get them. I mean, it's nice to have them. Not only are these guys big, but they can move well for people of their size. So, and it's a nice combination. But going after big bodies, linemen, tight end, DN types was definitely their strategy in this recruiting class.
How do you see some of these players fitting in? Juan Harris, we've seen him flip from or decommit from Iowa almost a handful of times. Do you see that commitment sticking, or is that a hold your breath, wait and see until, signing day really rolls around?
Well, I mean, for as long as I've done covered recruiting, to me, almost every commit is a wait and see. Now, there are some guys that you feel you would be – I never use the word shocked in recruiting, but there are some guys that would probably shock me over the years if they decommitted, and there's probably a couple in this class, but recruiting is, it's a whole different animal, especially football recruiting. There's no, kind of like the Wild Wild West. There's no law. There's no rules. It's just kind of, you know, I think Kevin Wilson says it best when it's real, recruiting starts January 10th and then it's a free-for-all. It's kind of a free-for-all now. It's just not as crazy as it will be in January. But, you know, I mean, there is a concern there with a guy like Juan Harris because, you know, he has changed his mind, obviously, or decommitted a few times from Iowa. But he's got a great relationship with Coach Hagan. They've known each other for a couple of years now. I think that'll help. You know, and maybe as he gets in the season, maybe it'll be harder for him to look around because he'll be busy with school and football. But, you know, the chances for a decommit are there for every recruit. It's just he's probably a little bit higher, like you said, on that scale than others.
The most recent commit, Caleb Jones, what does he bring to the table?
Well, first and foremost, he's huge size, 6'9". Like I said, he's listed at 320. I would guess he's probably in the 350 range. I mean, he's a big dude. He's got good feet. I saw him at the Invasion camp at Lawrence North last week. He admitted he needs to get in better shape. He needs to improve his conditioning. You have a lot to work with there. He's a big guy that can move. He's got some basketball in his past. He got kind of light feet, even though he's a massive human being. And he's the kind of guy that I think, you know, if he comes in and takes to the coaching and, you know, they get him with Coach Caton and his crew with the strength conditioning guys and, you know, get him in the right body that they want him to have, I think he's got a chance to have a nice upside. I think his ceiling's there. He's raw. He's, you know, the good thing is they've recruited the O-line so well that, you know, you don't need guys to come in and play right away. So he's a developmental guy. You know, probably bring him in and kind of redshirt him and like a Devondre Love and you know, a year or two down the road, you know, maybe he has a chance to crack the rotation. But I like his upside. But it's, you know, it's going to be on him like it is with any recruit. Make sure you get in shape and you take to the coaching and try to get better.
Yeah, Caleb Jones is I went to Lawrence North and still know some people there and they really like Caleb Jones. Everyone I've talked to that's involved with that program at all or has come in contact with him liked Caleb Jones as a kid, and he's got a cool story. His dad owns a restaurant that Caleb has worked at since he was 10. That doesn't necessarily mean anything for his football future, but it's cool to have an Indianapolis connection there. And I've seen him play a couple times. He's like you said, he's raw, but he moves surprising well for as big as he is. I think he's got a good future at probably on the outside because of his size and length. This is what you're hoping for. But kind of a tie-in to that, you know, he's an Indianapolis kid. It seems to me that the coaching staff has been able to do a pretty good job so far with this class with in-state kids. Have you noticed kind of an uptick in in-state recruiting at all since the contract extension? Do you think that's something that's played a role in some of the better-rated Indiana prospects committing, or is this kind of just a, you know, perception thing that I'm thinking that it's not actually the reality?
No, I think it is. I mean, there's probably, you know, the bowl season probably helped too, but I think the contract extension has been a big deal. I mean, you know, some of the guys, not every guy I talked to said this, but some of the guys have said, you know, the contract extension was big for them because they know that Kevin Wilson and his staff are locked into Indiana for, you know, I think it was a 6-year deal. So they know that he's going to be there for their career. And that's huge for guys. I mean, I said it last year when people were debating, you know, whether to extend or not to extend before, you know, the end of the season. And I said, one way or the other, you got to make a decision because you can't have a guy on a 2-year contract in Indiana. You can't recruit. And I think it hurt their in-state recruiting last year because guys, you know, it was kind of being used against them on the recruiting trail. It's just the way it is. And I think now they've got that security and I think it's a big deal. And I think TJ, it's that you're spot on. I think it has helped them. And like I said, the season they had last year, going to a bowl game, winning 6 games. I think that helped too. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a spectacular season, but it was a good first step for this program. As far as getting to a bowl game, now you try to take it to the next step, a little bit better bowl game or 7 wins and, you know, something like that. But I think it all ties in together, but to me, the contract extension was the biggest deal.
Matt, you mentioned the Invasion camps, and I went to 2 of them. You went to all 4 of them. What was your feeling? Was that campaign a success in your eyes?
Yeah, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were there. I think Coach Wilson said they had around 550 or 560 guys, and that's what they said for the four camps. And I'm guessing they probably, the Lawrence North camp did not have a ton of guys. It was first thing in the morning. There were some good players there. And besides Caleb Jones, there's a few other guys there that they liked. And, the Carmel camp was really, really well attended. And Westfield, you were there. It was kind of like the Lawrence North camp. And then obviously the Brownsburg camp, the last one was really well attended with some good players. So I thought it went off well. Especially it was something that we really didn't kind of know about until just a few weeks before it happened. And, I think if it's something they keep doing on a, every year basis, and I would think they will, I could see it growing and growing. I thought, they got to work with these kids got to camp for free and get coached by a Big Ten staff. So, I think it was all positive. Coach Wilson seemed pleased by it. The other coaches seemed pleased by it. And, for a first year and for a program like Indiana, I thought it was a good deal.
Right. And Matt, let's move on from recruiting a little bit. I know there's still some guys who are close to committing, but today was the first day we got to see practice. And probably the biggest question heading into fall camp is the quarterback battle. What were your first impressions from practice today?
Well, I don't think anybody really separated themselves at that position. There were some good and there were some not so good. You start with Xander Diamant. I thought he looked honestly. I thought he threw the ball better than I remember him throwing. I mean, he still is not a very big guy, but I thought his arm looked better than I. I mean, he didn't have a lot of the passes where you float him a lot, but. It's not Richard Lego or Nate Sudfeld type, but I thought it looked better. I thought Lego made some nice throws, and I thought he made some throws where he looks like he's still trying to figure stuff out as far as the offense. Austin King has a good arm. Peyton Ramsey is, and I don't, we don't expect Peyton Ramsey to play this year, but he looks like a guy that could really, in a year or two, really be a nice player. He's got good athleticism. I thought he threw the ball pretty well. A little bit of a funky delivery, but nothing that's, so terrible you can't work with. So I think they've got, Danny Cameron is kind of usual, kind of steady self. I think they've got some pieces there. It's just, you want to see one guy kind of, take hold of the position. But then again, like Coach Wilson said today, you could see them play more than one. And it wouldn't shock me if they play a couple guys this year. That wouldn't shock me at all.
Would it shock you to have him draw out a starter? We weren't as hands-on in 2013, but Wilson alluded to that today in his press conference, was that, he kind of almost admitted he made a mistake in 2013 with how he handled that quarterback competition, giving everybody a fair and equal shot, and that kind of, he said, made everybody mad. Do you see, them trying to name a full-time starter before maybe a couple weeks before or a week before the opener?
Yeah, I asked Coach Johns that today when we had him there up in the, for the media day. And he said that, they'd like to do it, the earlier the better. Now, they're not going to rush it. They're not going to name a guy just to name a guy. But he felt like in his first week to 10 days, even 2 weeks, that you'll start seeing some separation, that somebody will kind of emerge, and that's kind of their thought, or at least maybe one or two guys. I mean, I think right now it's Lego and Diamant. That seems pretty obvious. And I remember in 2013, they would split practice in half and have one quarterback in one half and another quarterback, and they would get equal reps. And I think they tried to do that, like Coach Wilson said, to be fair. This time they're going to do it the kind of traditional way. They have a one and a two, and they're going to get reps, and then, whoever looks better, maybe they flip-flop or whatever. But, you want to get it, you'd like to have it probably within, the first game is less than a month away. So you'd really like to have your quarterback in the next couple weeks, so then you have a couple weeks to start kind of working towards game one with your starter in mind, so you can start game planning and start getting things ready for the season. You don't want to drag this all the way into game week, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, that's what it seems to me is that's what he's trying to avoid. Having a new quarterback and a quarterback who hasn't played that much coming into the mix. Now all the wide receivers, when we talked to them, Matt, they were very gave very politically correct answers. Oh, it doesn't matter who throws us the ball, or you know, we could catch whatever ball they throw at us. But it's got to figure into it where if you're practicing with the ones and the first team and guys who are going to play in a game, for them to get a look at the different arm slots that these guys are throwing at. Obviously, Legault at 6'6 is going to come out a little bit higher than Viamont, and everybody throws the ball a little bit different. So to me, I do think that they have to figure out a starter before the game. But I think you're right in terms of maybe they'll play two guys, not a dual, you know, not a two quarterback system, but maybe they go, you know, see how Legault does for a certain amount of time, then put in Diamant. I mean, I think the best case scenario is if you start, you know, beating teams pretty well, then you could get a good look at either quarterback. In terms of defense, there wasn't a lot of hitting today, but did anybody stand out to you during the drills? I thought there were a couple guys, you know, Jonathan Crawford made a couple plays, and Marcelino Ball made a couple plays, you know, guys like that. Who did anybody stand out for you?
Yeah, Jonathan Crawford is probably the first name that jumps out. I mean, I was thinking about it. I'm driving home, and you know, there was a couple. He had to do some up or push-ups because he dropped a couple of interceptions. But the good news is he was in position to make those picks, and he seemed like a guy that was really all over the field when he was out there, going sideline to sideline. Rashard Fenn had a nice pick. Tyler Green almost had one. Andre Brown made a nice play. Like you said, without hitting, it's kind of hard to get a read on like the D linemen and linebackers a little bit, just because, you know, there is no tackling. But what stuck out for me from those positions is, and we mentioned it at practice, is the size. I mean, Jacob Robinson has gotten noticeably bigger. I think he's 280 something, and he looks all of that and then some. I mean, they've got some good size. I mean, Nate Hoff's always been a big guy. He looks like maybe he's actually kind of leaned up a little bit, but he's still a big dude. So, you know, the front seven, I guess front six, since it's a 4-2-5, you know, to me it was, you know, I like the size of the guys they have, and, you know, they look like they have some good athletes. And then on the back end, you know, Jonathan Crawford for me was a guy that kind of, you know, I was like, you know, that's the guy I remember from early in the season last year.
Yeah, and it was good to see Zeke Walker back as well. He had an interception. I forgot who the quarterback was, but he's coming off a Liz Frank injury, which usually takes some time to get back from. But he looked like he was full go and made a nice play at the Husky position. So he's a guy, a taller, you know, guy on defense who can make some plays. But Matt, is there anything on the recruiting standpoint now? Back to that we need to Hoosier fans should keep an eye on.
Well, there's probably a few guys that could be close. Chinedu Ogbonna, the linebacker from Georgia. If I had to put money on somebody to be the next commit, it would probably be him. After that, it's kind of probably a little bit of wait and see. I don't, off the top of my head, I can't think of anybody that is probably really close. Kurt Raftel from here in state, he's a guy that, you know, he told me last week after the invasion camp, he's down to IU, Auburn, and Nebraska.
Wow.
I actually he's got offers from all three. Visit Auburn recently. Actually ran into the Carmel head coach up here at the Speedway gas station, and we talked a little bit, and he said that IU's in great shape, and he kind of called him the favorite. So with Raftel, we'll see how that plays out. But I would say
What's IU recruiting him to play? Would it be?
I think tight end. I saw him at the camp, and I'll be honest. When you think of a 6'7" tight end, you think, well, he's not going to be real fluid. He's going to be maybe a little, I don't know, maybe mechanical. He does not look 6'7" when he's running routes and catching the ball. He looks like he's 6'4". I mean, he has nice good hands. He was fluid. It wasn't like you felt like he couldn't play tight end. And I mean that, you know, the other thing is you wonder is he going to get too big because he's got that frame. And his frame to me is different than I saw Jason Spriggs the summer before his senior year, and you could tell Jason Spriggs was going to be 310 pounds. I'm not so sure that Kurt Raftel is going to be 310. I think he may stay in that 250 to 260 range, which is definitely good size for tight end. And I think he could stay at tight end. Now there's always that chance his body bulks up, but I think he could play tight end. I mean, it's not a common thing for a guy his size to be a tight end, but it's not completely, you know, not ever happened before. So I think he could do it. And like I said, I was really impressed. It was just a camp, no pads or anything, but just to watch him catch the ball, caught it with his hands, soft hands. You had to adjust on a poorly thrown ball and made the catch. So I think he's got a shot to stick at tight end, and I think that's where they'll put him. I mean, you could always try him. If he gets too big, you put him at O-tackle or something like that. But I think tight end's where he can play.
Boy, him and Hendershot would be a nice 1-2 combo in this recruiting class as far as receiving options, bigger guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Hendershot's a good athlete. I mean, he can play defense, but I think tight end's where he'll be, barring something unforeseen, because he's a heck of a tight end prospect, and he can really run and catch the ball and then run with it afterwards.
Yep. One question pertaining to recruiting. It's a bit of a mystery to me why, I don't want to say struggle, because I don't think there's been a struggle with quarterbacks when you've had Nate Sudfeld here in the program, and then Richard Legault and Ramsey and Austin King, guys that have a lot of promise. But why has so many quarterbacks been, very close and had Indiana in the running? But why do you think that the IU's been unable to kind of seal the deal on some of the higher priority quarterbacks that they've gone after here recently? Is that a concern, moving forward, do you think, or are there still a lot of options available for them?
Well, it's a question that I've thought about, and I know me and Sammy have talked about it. I don't know. I mean, it's tough to say. I don't know if I can put my finger on it, because you would think this would be an offense that quarterbacks would be falling over themselves to play in. Now, some of it is, I think, they've kind of, the way things have worked with their quarterbacks and guys left and whatever, the way it's been staggered, if you're a young quarterback, you look at it, you see Nate Sudfeld's got 2 or 3 years or whatever. Now, in this case, for 17, that's not really the case. The biggest problem is they missed on 2 in-state guys that are really good. Now, Brandon Peters to Michigan and Hunter Johnson to Clemson. Those are obviously programs not to sneeze at. Very good programs, tradition rich. But I don't know if it's concerning. Now, I don't think you have to take a quarterback in this class in 17 because you got 5 and all are coming back. You'd like to in a perfect world, but you can't reach. You don't want to reach on somebody, especially in a class that's only going to maybe have 20 to 21 guys. They'll keep tabs on the guys they've offered, and if somebody, if there's a coaching change or somebody, decides they don't want to go to where they committed, then I think they would take somebody. I don't know if they're going to offer anybody new unless somebody just really blows up. But in 18, to me, especially if you go to another bowl game this year, you have another successful season, 18 will be the kind of litmus test for me. If they don't get, it's not that they haven't gotten quality quarterbacks. You mentioned the guys they've gotten. It's just those guys have kind of been a little bit down the recruiting board, and that's not a bad thing. But at every other position on the roster, even on defense, they've gotten some of the guys at the top of their board, D-line, linebacker, DB, and especially on offense, except for quarterback. And nothing against Austin King or Peyton Ramsey. I think they can be quality guys. But at some point, you kind of like to get that guy that's right there at the top, and a 4-star guy, a big-name quarterback. I wish I had a better answer as to why. I really don't know why. And I think sometimes maybe they're kind of bewildered by it too, because it's a great offense to play in if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it a lot, Matt, and I don't want to call it mind-boggling, but it's a little curious and something to keep an eye on. But I think you're right in terms of they don't need to take one in this class, especially with if it's close to 20, they only have 8 spots left. 7 or 8 spots left in this recruiting class. So, it's something that Hoosier fans should keep an eye on for the future. But, Matt, thanks for your time. Hopefully you'll join us again soon. We'll be back. We'll be down in Florida before you know it, so you could, we'll golf for a few days. Hopefully you don't, fight any of the old people. thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's always great to come on, and I appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Matt.
Yep.
Well, TJ, it's always great hearing from Matt. He's always working, and gave a Speedway Gas a shout-out. So, Speedway, if you're looking for a sponsor on the podcast, give us a call. But anyway, I think this recruiting class is shaping up to be very good for IU. In terms of their bulking up that defensive line, which is something that we said that they would get underway or you know, try and focus on. But, you know, I think
what,
camp
six,
today.
Six, seven guys that are, like, looking like potential defensive line guys already?
Yeah, and that's a minimum. Some of these guys could flip from offense to defense and vice versa.
Yeah.
But it's they're now getting these bigger bodies where, you know, maybe they won't be as much of a project to bulk up in terms of, you know, the weight room or need a year, and you could just plug them in and play. But, TJ, it was being down at Media Day at IU and at fall camp earlier today, you know, there's just a, you know, and Ken Sterling wrote about it, there was just a sense of, you know, a little sense of pride and confidence in them that, you know, we went to a bowl last year. They know it's not good enough, but it's we're no longer, you know, the doormat that IU football has been for a while. So that was good to see, good to hear. The quarterback competition, you know, it's wide open. Xander looked, you know, he came back after missing spring. He looked very good. And he looked sharper than I expected in terms of throwing the ball, just because he'd missed 15 practices in the spring, and you don't really know what they did in the summer. But obviously, you could tell he put the work in, and you know he's throwing the ball with a little more zip. You wish he could put on a little bit more weight. You know, he's just seems like one of those guys who could eat and eat and eat, and just never put on weight, and I wish I was that type of person, but I'm not. But it was, you know, it was encouraging to see now these guys are pushing each other. It's not, you know, it's not, oh, no, they're both not good. They're both playing okay with a lot of chance to grow. And one of the quotes Wilson had today was, be the best quarterback you could be. And you know what, at the end of the day, if they want to make a decision in 2 weeks, say, you know what, this guy has played his best and he's better than you and pick a starter that way, I think that's the way they should go. But, you know, in a perfect world, you pick a starter, you go on the road, you blow out your first opponent, maybe first two opponents, and you get a look at both of them going into that open week and get them both game reps. But we know it's not a perfect world, so that like it won't happen. But, TJ, going into camp, what are your biggest questions heading into the season?
Well, one more note on quarterback. I mean, I wasn't shocked or anything, but it's worth noting that athlete Donovan Hale has, it sounds like, opted himself to kind of move back to wide receiver. If you want to talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, Donovan Hale was a quarterback in the spring. He's from Largo, Florida, sophomore, terrific athlete. And he's moving back to wide receiver to try and get on the field. Now, Wilson said he was a year or two away from being a good quarterback. He thought he had the skills to be a quarterback. He was a good quarterback in high school. He just missed a lot of time. He suffered a knee injury in high school, his senior year, and he missed a lot of time and wasn't really 100% last year going into fall camp and going into practice. So he missed a lot of those reps. But you saw him against Michigan at wide receiver. He made a terrific dive and catch. He had a, you know, you saw him today, he showed off great hands. I don't know his hand size, but it must be huge because there were throws where he had to reach and make a grab, and it just looked like, you know, he's catching the ball with Velcro on his gloves. So, but, you know, he's an athlete that was too talented to sit on the bench. And this is something Matt and I discussed as well, coming back from Media Day when, you know, we thought, you know, how do you get Donovan Hale on the field and switching him to receiver if he didn't – I don't want to say he didn't pan out a quarterback, but he was going to be buried on the depth chart. And so he's just too good of an athlete to not use and just have him sit on the bench.
Yeah, we've mentioned that on the podcast before as far as where he was going to end up. And, you know, we thought, well, if he's a quarterback, maybe he sees a couple of unique packages or something, which, you know, would be out of character for how Indiana operates its offense. But, you know, we thought maybe that's something they could do. But it was always our consensus opinion that, you know, they need to find a way to get him onto the field, and this seems to be kind of the best way to do that this season, is to put him a wide receiver. And obviously, I would not expect for him to eclipse any of the three starters, but, you know, after those three starters, you do have some opportunity to earn some playing time. You know, I think that probably Jayshon Harris is there, Nick Westbrook is there, and after those five, you know, you do have a lot of options, but you've got question marks. Isaac Griffith is potentially going to miss the whole season. You know, you have Luke Timian. You've got some freshmen coming in. Kameon Patrick might see some time split out wide or playing in the slot. But there's going to be an opportunity there for Donovan Hale to earn his way onto the field as an athlete. So I'm interested to see how that pans out. And if this gets Donovan Hale on the field, then it's a move that I'm happy with.
Yeah, and to go on to your wide receivers, it's a lot of they're going to play 8 or 9 guys, maybe 10 guys, but a name that was thrown around a lot today was Nick Westbrook. I know when I talked to Coach Caton, I believe he was one of the standouts at wide receiver in the weight room in the off season. And Jayshon Harris looked good in practice. You know, he was good. He looked back 100%. You know, you noticed he was moving without a hitch in his giddy up. He looked good. A lot of the freshmen are going to fight for playing time. They might not all play, and you know, you have to think about the philosophy of how many plays is a freshman actually worth to you to burn a year. You know, if somebody goes down and you need them in the last game of the year to get to a bowl game or win a bowl game or something like that, do you burn a red shirt? Yeah, sure, maybe. But they have enough depth and talent with this wide receiver core that they could, you know, start redshirting guys like Phil Banker or Taysier Mack or Jonah Morris, that they don't have to force to play these freshmen. Now, I know, you know, Wilson's not afraid to play freshmen, which is good, but, you know, it's a luxury to maybe keep a few of these bullets in the holster. And let them learn the offense from the sideline, let them learn it in practice, let them bulk up. And Wilson does make a good point. He likes to play freshmen because it keeps them involved in school. They're on a schedule and not playing. We've all sat on the bench in sports, TJ, and not playing is frustrating. And if you're not playing, and these guys are coming from high school where they play all the time. They were likely the best player on their team, or one of the best players and starting all the time and playing a lot, to going to riding the bench, not having a chance to get into a game no matter what they do in practice. So it can be frustrating on that side too. But, look, you've got 8 or 9 guys who could play, and that's not a knock on the freshmen, but your turn's going to be next year when Ricky Jones graduates, Mitchell Page graduates, and you might lose Simi Cobbs to the league. So the opportunity is there. You just have to stay patient, and that's what I think some of these young guys will do. But I'm telling you, the hands on this team are unbelievable, and the wide receiver corps is going to be a strength. They just need to find that guy to throw them, get them the ball, and let these receivers do the work. But this, to me, the team, even when they took the field, they just look physically bigger and faster than IU teams in the past that you know, we've been used to seeing.
Well, I mean, when you look at the kind of the aggregate recruiting ranking of this group as a whole, I mean, these are all Kevin Wilson's guys. These are all guys that he's brought into the program. And when you look at the recruiting aggregate as a whole, which I understand is not the end-all be-all, you know, programs will underperform and overperform consistently based on how well they develop, how well they evaluate talent versus how well the recruiters, you know, the recruiting rankings have evaluated that talent. But in general, when you take an entire team and look at what that aggregate recruiting ranking is, it's usually pretty close to where that team is ranked in preseason polls and predictions. And Indiana's aggregate recruiting ranking is better than it has been at any point, probably in the history of, you know, aggregate recruiting rankings. It's a better, deeper roster than what Kevin Wilson has ever had, and really, I think it's safe to say, than what Indiana's had until at least Bill Mallory's years, better years with Indiana. It's no surprise that they look better, look bigger, look stronger just from a physical standpoint. It's definitely good to hear, and it's, I think, a very big positive that Indiana's not going to be just out-athleted by and physically overwhelmed by hardly anyone that they play. The only schools that might be able to just physically overwhelm them are going to be probably Michigan and Ohio State. And as we've seen here recently, last year, that's probably not going to be the case either. Like, they're not going to be intimidated and overwhelmed by those two schools either. So I think it speaks really well to the coaching staff and what they've brought in now. Just because you've done those things and just because you have apparently, you know, everything we've heard is they've put in the work in the off season, the attitude around the team is good, the confidence around the team is good. You know, you're not in a situation where you're apologizing for being a part of Indiana football anymore. You know, those days are over. And I know that just in the way that I feel, I've never been ashamed to be an Indiana fan. You know, you kind of, in the recent past, it'll be, I write for an Indiana football site or I'm an Indiana football fan. You kind of get a sideways glance like, what, really? And that's not the case anymore. You know, it's no longer something that you feel like you have to explain why you're an Indiana football fan. That doesn't mean that it's a consistently great program. It doesn't mean that yet, but I feel like it's significantly better in stature than what it has been any time that I've been a fan.
Yeah, and you know, I always go back to a game I went to in, I believe, 2010, and I took my cousin to OSU-IU game, and, you know, his first reaction was, you know, the atmosphere is great, but if you look at the lines, it's like varsity against JV, and it's no longer like that. And I was talking to Jacob Bailey today about that and saying, you know, I called it too early to call it a tradition, but for five, you know, he came in 5 years ago with the staff, and yeah. Greg Fry told him that they were going to be the best offensive line in the Big Ten. Some people laughed at that, and rightfully so. They hadn't earned that yet. But if you look over the last couple years and heading into this year, they're arguably the best line in the Big Ten. If not, you know, they're in the top two or three. That's just a testament to Coach Fry and Coach Wilson, the recruiting they do, and these players. They've bought in, and they've created a standard that, you know, these young guys, and you see the big bodies they're bringing in, and people want to play for this team on the offensive line now, where, you know, you're right, you're not getting pushed around. We saw last year in the Michigan game, where late in the game, Dan Feeney's running down like a runaway bulldozer, just running people over, clearing the way for Jordan Howard. And
Indiana was doing pushing.
Yeah, it was, and pushing is taking it lightly. They were steamrolling them in the run game late in the game when normally it's the other way around, where, you know, IU keeps it close, and then the other team breaks away and starts physically overwhelming them. But the standards on both offense and defense now with Coach Allen are there. The bar is set, and the bar is set pretty high. So I'm excited to see what Paul Camp has to do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, and that's something they've talked about, is raising the defensive standard to meet and match what the offensive standard has been. What did you notice, if anything, on the defensive side of the ball that maybe is a little bit different in the past, just in maybe coaching style or energy level or, you know, the way that they've conducted the defensive side of practice? or the personnel, just anything you noticed that would be a little bit different than what we've seen in the past that apparently hasn't worked on defense.
Well, the energy level on defense is great. Coaches are into it. It's the first day. Your energy level is going to be through the roof.
Sure.
on day one and day two. Talking with Coach Allen today, he says, you know, the first thing, we got to trust each other, we got to love each other. And that's how a successful family works is, you know, you trust each other to make the plays you're supposed to make. And you know what? There's been a lot of bad press about this Indiana defense where, hey, we're in our room. These are our guys and we have one another's backs. So that's something, you know, you got to look at too is their attitude, just believing in each other. They carry themselves a little bit better on the field. You got a little bit more feeling of confidence on the defensive side of the ball. And they did make some good plays today. Matt was talking about a Jonathan Crawford play, which, you know, should have been a pick, but it was a tough ball to catch, but he was there in position. Rashard Fant had a nice interception. Zeke Walker made a great play. These guys are now believing in each other that they will make the play, not overcompensating for, oh, no, I don't trust that guy to make a play. Let me, you know, the play's going over there or might go over there. Let me help him out and let my guy go free, and it ends up as a disaster. But, you know, you see the standard is set with Coach Allen and all the defensive coaches is that, you know, last year wasn't good enough. Being at the bottom of the Big Ten is not good enough. Even being in the middle of the Big Ten is not good enough. He talked to guys like Nate Hoff today, and they were talking about, we want to be the best in the Big Ten. Enough of, you know, we could be mediocre and we'll be a good team. We want to be a great team, and we want to be a great defense. So that's what I think, you know, some of the stuff with Coach Allen is there's a lot more accountability on defense in terms of, you know, if guys drop a pick or whatever, they're doing push-ups. They're, you know, not kicking themselves and down on themselves, but they're like, that's a play I got to make and stuff like that. So it's really good to see the standard being set higher on defense. Another thing I want to get out before we have to go, TJ, is I talked to Noah Joseph, the safeties coach, about Jamie Thompson, Chase Dutra. And, you know, something I saw in Jamie Thompson in the spring was his mean streak. And I asked Joseph about it. That's something you want? Is that something that's been missing from Indiana's defense? And, you know, one of the things he said is that in the past we haven't had any physically, intimidating guys who make you feel the hit. We had some guys who could tackle and make big hits, but there wasn't a guy who would come down, lay the lumber, and make you feel the hit and be physically imposing on defense and have that mean streak that Jamie Thompson, and he said Chase Dutra is like that too. And, you know, maybe that'll set the tone to the other guys to have that mean streak. Be smart with it, but, you know, have that, make that receiver think, I don't really want to go across the middle today because, you know, Jamie Thompson might get me, or Chase Dutra, you know, might come down and lay a hard lick on me, or, you know, I'm getting tired of running the ball into Nate Hoff and Ralph Green and getting hit by Marcus Oliver and all that stuff, to where, you know, then you get the offenses thinking about it a little too much. And that's something that, you know, when they actually put pads on and start tackling, maybe we'll see a little bit more of. But TJ, thanks for joining us. We are out of time. We'll be back. We'll be back next week. We'll start our regular shows. Game day is only 29 days away, believe it or not. So TJ, thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of the evening, and we'll talk IU another time.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. Thanks for listening, everybody, and welcome to football season. This is when we really ramp up. The content on the site will continue to be excellent as we get into now IU position previews and all that good stuff. And then we'll be doing the legitimate opponent preview here before, like you said, before we know it, it's going to be here. So I'm amped up, ready to go.
Yeah, we're amped up too. So everybody, do come back to Hoosier Huddle. We'll start our opponent previews, our game week previews here in a couple weeks. We'll have updates from camp, updates on recruiting. Our IU positional previews are coming up as well. So don't be a stranger. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com. Tweet us at Hoosier_Huddle. Find us on Facebook as well. We're tweaking some things on the site as well. So bear with us on that. If a link doesn't work, just shoot us a tweet. Say, hey, this isn't working, and we'll try and fix it. But be excited. Football's here. It's finally here. And we'll have games soon enough.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I normally find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. But Skims has changed that. You know I love Skims underwear, so I finally tried their bras, and Skims has delivered again. Skims bras are worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I wasn't expecting was how comfortable they are, too. I've tried so many bras in the past, and the main issue that I have is that they weren't supportive enough, to the point where they felt slouchy. I love my Skims wireless form bra because it's so comfortable and supportive. The older I get, the more I care about actually being comfortable in what I wear every day. And with my wireless form bra, I no longer have to sacrifice my comfort for the support I need. Shop Skims bras at skims.com, now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, cool,
or attending one live,
no!
You can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.